Ready. Set. Spartan Race is back for 2018, and we're accepting no excuses. Barbed wire crawls, tire drags, spear throws, and much more. Whatever your ability, you'll discover the right challenge for you. Take on our 5 to 25-kilometre events designed to push you to limits you never knew you could overcome. Complete an obstacle course race and let adventure back into your life. Are you ready to unleash your inner Spartan warrior? Visit SpartanRace.uk.
I am Adora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Lightfolk, Madame Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 71st chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Can we just skip to the next episode, please?
No. We would not be completists then. I would wake up in cold sweats from not being a...
Oh, please.
Not doing the complete series. It's different if you stop. But if you miss an episode in between, that's different. All right, so...
Basically, what you're saying is we can stop right now and just go straight into the new adventures, right?
Not at all. We got to delay that as long as humanly possible. All right, in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on Episode 72, The Pearl, Episode 73, The Time Transformer, and Episode 74... Above it all. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
A Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's court was better than that episode.
Don't reveal your hand too early.
Fishermen of Etheria. So long as they do nothing to harm the sea or its people, we will help them catch all the fish they need.
How about the fishermen who work for the Horde?
We do not interfere with them. My father, King Mercia, does not want to start trouble.
I understand, but it's too bad. Your people would be very valuable additions to the rebellion.
You know that I support the rebellion, Adora. But my father worries for the safety of his people. So long as the Horde does not bother him, he will not bother the Horde.
Well, I hope they never bother him, but... Mimista, what's wrong? Oh,
distress signal from a whale. Oh, it stopped just like that. Something happened to the whale.
Could it have been stunned?
Stunned. Or worse, I have to find out. Excuse me?
Sounds like there could be trouble.
Hmm.
time for a swim. Sword to helmet.
So we start today with episode 72, titled The Pearl, air date somewhere around Saturday, October 18th, 1986, written by Bob Forward. She-Ra and Mermista free a baby horned whale from Hordak's capture. They take it back to Mermista's father's undersea kingdom, Selinius, but they are unaware Hordak has attached a limp spy device to the baby whale. That was a mouthful. We have Shadow Weaver and Hordak, we have She-Ra, Mermista, and then we have Mermista's father, King Mercia, and some mer people and some fishermen. What do you think about this Mermista-centric episode?
This is by far the worst episode of the series.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No way. Not possible.
This is nothing but an episode of Aquaman. It's all it is Aquaman meets the Little Mermaid.
I don't know about all that.
It is! Look at what happens in this episode. Because of the super giant pearl thingy, they can transform between having tails and having legs. That's Little Mermaid right there, except nobody's voice was stolen this time. And then Aquaman, She-Ra in her stormtrooper-like helmet, basically gives off the waves of Aquaman from Super Friends. It's Aquaman meets the Little Mermaid, and it's horrible.
I don't think it's horrible. I don't think it's fantastic, but I don't think it's horrible. We've seen far worse. I mean, I like the idea of seeing more of Mermista, getting to kind of get some background for that. I question any episode that's going to do Mermista backstory, have somebody called King Mercia, have mer people, and somehow not find a way to have merman in there. It's begging to be a crossover episode with merman, and that's disappointing to me.
Yeah, he was one of the, I think he's one of the two, one out of two characters in the entire Filmation universe that was used the least.
Yeah, I mean, there were some that were just one-offs and stuff like that, but I mean, yeah,
I mean actual Skeletor's Evil Warriors. Oh. He was, I forget what the second one was. I saw a trivia bit from the He-Man cartoon guide from James E. Talk that came out. Merman is one of two Filmation Masters characters that is the least used the entire run.
Yeah, and I just don't get it, especially in an episode like this. You would have thought you would have been able to find some way of tying it in there. Like, if we're going to have this underwater-centric episode, like, how does Merman not factor into that somehow? I know they're in different planets and whatnot, but it just seems like Mermista and Merman should have been a showdown at some point.
Yep.
So it could have been, like, her half-brother that got, like, turned into a fish at some point. I don't know, like... Give me something, but like I said, I don't mind seeing a little bit about more about Mermista, but I was a little underwhelmed. I was disappointed that this episode didn't turn out a little bit better than it did, but I don't think I can go as far to say it's one of the worst of the series. Not quite there yet. So,
oh, yeah, it is.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear why Mike hates this episode so much, and you'll hear from me why Mike is exaggerating a bit.
As usual, we caught no fish, but we did manage to catch this baby horn whale. That stun beam will keep it asleep for hours. We were lucky to find a baby. An older one would have been too big to handle.
What are you going to do with it, Mighty Hordak?
I'm going to give it to Horde Prime as a present. He collects strange animals.
But will Horde Prime have a tank big enough to keep it in? Especially when it grows up.
Who cares? That's not my problem.
Oh, yes it is, Hordak.
Says who, Fishtail?
Says me.
Blast.
You poor little thing. I have to get you out of here.
She's trying to free the horn whale. Start the engines.
Oh, if I can just get you loose. What? She-Ra!
I thought you could use a hand.
Oh, no. Hordak is starting the engines. He'll get away before we can free the
She's broken a propeller, and now she's freeing the horn whale from underwater.
Should we blast her, sir?
Fool! Our blast beams don't work underwater.
Hordak, She-Ra, and Mamista have freed the whale.
The whale's still stunned. We have to get it away from the ship.
Let's take it to my father's kingdom. We can care for it there.
Why don't you stick some TP in that bunghole? Maybe it'll seal up the cracks.
What are you talking about?
Name of the episode is The Pearl. TP, as in toilet paper. Because I would not use the hardest of toilet paper to wipe this episode's ass with.
I have no idea what that has to do with The Pearl. But, are we...
The initials TP. You can go whenever you're ready.
All right, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods for the first time today to talk about the good things about The Pearl. I will start, because I don't think Mike has much to do here. I like seeing Mermista's father. I like getting somewhat of the character development episode based around Mermista's life outside of where we see her when she pops up on a rock somewhere in a lake or something like that, where she is most of the time. So I think there are some elements that develop her character and kind of her backstory a little bit. So I like that. Is there anything that you could say good about this episode, Mike?
Hey, look, Mermista is Ariel's grandmother.
Oh, man. The Little Mermaid references keep coming.
Yep. And She-Ra, the stormtrooper.
I didn't mind that mask. I thought the helmet was pretty cool. I don't like the sword turning into it, but yeah. I didn't mind the look of the actual mask. Mm. I have a feeling you have a lot more to say in the Fright Zone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get there so Mike can have his soapbox moment.
Oh, hell no. Sword to diving helmet, really?
Yeah, not good.
So we got a space helmet and we get a diving helmet.
Not good.
Yet every other time we've seen her underwater, I get it. She went deep underwater, so they had to do something. Like they would not have been able to explain her not having some sort of helmet.
Right.
I get it. I understand that. But at first, when they're in the water, they're not even that deep, and she just has the helmet on. Hordak's voice is very off in this episode and all of the episodes today.
I didn't get that at all.
It's not a bad thing. I just noticed it under the Fright Zone moments because it just doesn't... I don't know. It just does. It sounds like him, like DeCenzo has always sounded as Hordak, but there's just a part of it that's a little bit higher than what I'm used to, I guess. It requires a tail to work underwater. Tell that to all the police, marine, any kind of dive teams that use wetsuits and, yeah, don't even sit there and tell me you have to be a fucking merperson to work underwater, you dumb bitch.
Okay.
And it's an Aquaman episode. Aquaman meets the Little Mermaid, like I already said.
What's wrong with Aquaman?
Nothing wrong with Aquaman, but at this point in the series, I expect more than just a ripoff of a crossover.
I didn't pick up any type of ripping off or crossovers whatsoever. I don't know. Maybe it's because I didn't watch Aquaman stuff, but definitely didn't come up with... I mean, yeah, Little Mermaid takes place underwater and is mermaid, but I mean, other than that, I don't see a connection to it, so...
The Aquaman thing comes into play because of her mental powers with the animals, except underwater, she gives off the vibes of how they showed Aquaman's powers in Super Friends.
No, right. I'm saying I don't know anything about Aquaman, so I wouldn't have picked up on that. That's what I was saying. Why is Mermista French?
I don't know.
Why are all of these people French? That's just a weird choice. Like, you would have thought they could have come up with something else, like... I don't know, a country that is known for like underwater or water things, or at least being by major water things. I don't know. French just seems weird. It's like, and it's not a good French accent either. It's
no, it's horrible.
Sword to helmet. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. Worst laugh in the history of the series by She-Ra in both animation and in sound. It takes place in this episode.
Yeah.
It is awful.
She doesn't like, but the thing is, the problem with it isn't the fact of it is the fact of how she sounds when she does it, but it's like something happened between the writing and the execution of the voice cast, because there seems to me that there should have been a line that she was laughing at there in that scene, somebody says something that isn't even remotely funny, and it cuts to her laughing, or it's just a horrible, horrible, weird jump cut that is like they forgot to say one of their lines.
Yeah, it was not good.
No,
not at all. Quick turnaround for the king. He blames She-Ra, and then Mermista says something, and then he immediately apologizes. Like, well, how could your mind change that quickly? Again, why couldn't we get a Mermista Merman crossover?
He flip-flops more than Barack Obama.
Oh, geez, you want to talk about flip-floppers. Obama's nowhere near as bad as what we're about to get in this debate season coming up. A little excessive with the mirror imaging in this episode. I know it's a tactic to make it seem like they're not using the same animation over and over again, but the number of times that all they do is flip everything mirror-wise in this episode is a bit annoying. Like, I can forgive a couple times during an episode because you kind of understand and it's like whatever, but it was like every fifth scene seemed like it was a mirror image of five scenes before that. And how does Shadow Weaver know what the Power Pearl is? The Power Pearl is built up in this episode like something that nobody knows about, and they talk about how they want to keep it a secret, don't bring any Drylanders here because if they knew about this, it's been a long kept secret, blah 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 blah. And yeah, I get that there's a spy bot there so that they see where these people are, but then it goes to Shadow Weaver immediately like talking about the powers of the Power Pearl or why it's important, which she shouldn't know anything about.
And then she goes back and forth pretending, or not pretending, but essentially saying to Hordak is, I'm trying to find out, or what. Like, she has this really weird thing with Hordak in this episode where he's about to punish her because she doesn't already know something that he thinks she should know. Because he assumes, because she's this all-powerful sorceress, that she should know every single thing, and she doesn't.
Right.
And the whole, it's just a whole, just, no, just so bad.
And the PSA was about don't get scared if you are lost, I think.
I don't even know.
It's something
know.
To do with not being scared and freaking out if you're lost.
I was when I was watching these episodes, I was trying to get through them as fast as I could because all three are so bad.
I disagree and with you on that.
It's, huh?
I disagree. I don't think these three episodes are that bad.
Yeah, they are.
No, we've seen worse.
I don't know.
These are all just kind of middle of the road.
These are still going in that steep decline that we mentioned last episode. And it's one of those things where I made a note where, actually I posted on Twitter, I said, you know, a 21-minute cartoon that seems like it lasts forever, and that was this episode. It just... This episode went on way too damn long. It felt like the pacing of it was off.
Were you having a bad day when you watched these three episodes?
No, not at all.
See, I don't think they're bad. I didn't think any of them are great, but I just think they're all middle of the road.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and I guess we'll get into some more arguments on how we will end up rating the Pearl.
Take that toilet paper and shove it.
That sounds like a country song.
Look! A giant soccer clam! Its soccer foot will stick to anything, but they're impossible to pry loose from a rock.
Perhaps we don't have to. Let's go, baby! But it is very important that I move you to a new place. Will you release your grip?
It worked!
Thank you so much, my ocean friend.
Alright, it's time for the first of many arguments today, as far as what it sounds like, at least. But first, before that, Mike, do you have any horde bats or protection swords to give out on this episode?
Horde bat to Bob Forward. This man is better than this. I have no idea why he wrote this episode at all. He has done many things in his writing career, and he's written a hell of a lot better episodes of cartoons than this.
I'm going to stick with my mantra today. It's not bad. It's not good. It's somewhere in the middle, and for that reason, nobody stood out either way for me, so I don't have any hardware to give out.
All right.
What about Crystal Castle, sir? How many do you give it?
One. That's it.
One.
That's
I had you pegged as a zero on this one.
This is genuine. No, it gets worse.
Okay, I don't agree. Like I said, I don't think this is a bad episode. It gives us a little bit of background for Mermista and kind of her people and kind of what's going on there. It doesn't do anything that, like, wows me, but it also didn't do anything that pissed me off outside of the weird French voice and the She-Ra laugh, I guess. There was a couple of nitpicky things, but I'm right in the middle of the road. I give this one a 3 out of 5. 3 Crystal Castles out of 5. Not good, not bad. See? That's how it's supposed to be done. All right. No. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Transformers.
Please, can we talk about Transformers instead of this crap, please?
I think He-Man and Transformers both have a lot of high and low points.
Michael. There's no argument there, because it's factually correct, but still, I would rather watch the worst Generation 1 cartoon episode than watch this show.
I would rather watch all 3 episodes from here than most of the things Michael Bay has done.
No, you can't, you cannot sit there. No, this is cartoon only. Okay. Come on now.
Well, I'd rather watch these 3 episodes than half of Transformers Animated.
That's a low blow.
Possible! No Autobot flies!
Rules were meant to be broken. You gotta tune up or tune out, old bot.
I must say, this is a very good idea. A summer fair to celebrate the day She-Ra saved Valley View Castle.
She sure did, from Hordak's Doom Balloon.
And a lucky day it was for us.
Valley View Castle doesn't need to have its fortune told. Hordak wouldn't dare come back here again.
Here it is. I call it the Time Transformer. This machine will solve all your problems with the rebels.
Sure it will. Just like Catra solves our problems with She-Ra.
Now, can't you, little worm?
Catra just runs whenever she sees She-Ra.
Up next is episode 73, The Time Transformer, Saturday, September 19th, 1987, according to some sources. So this one might have been one that aired actually out of order the next year. Written by Don Heckman, Horde Professor Tempest has invented a time transformer capable of rewriting history. First, he makes sure Hordak's Doom Balloon defeated She-Ra at Valley View Castle. Then Hordak insists on adding a meteor storm to the Eclipse Beam attack on Bright Moon. So we have a whole episode about changing the events of the past, starring Catra, Hordak, Imp, and some Horde troopers, mainly just Hordak, though, and Professor Tempest. Then we have She-Ra, Madame Raz, Bo, Cowl, Broom, and Swiftwind. What did you think about this time-related episode featuring Professor Tempest?
I already have it in my Fright Zone moments, but since it pertains to the plot, the first thing I thought of as soon as I saw them going back, I was like, you mean to tell me this is going to be an entire clip show episode? No. No, 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 no. But they do work in some other beats around the clip shows. I think it's interestingly executed, but still, it's not a good episode.
From a plot standpoint, I'm a big fan of anything that involves time travel. So when you tell me that you're going to have a plot where we're doing something with time travel, especially if it's like going back and changing events from the past and making a different future, etc., I'm always very intrigued by that. So I was on board with the idea of the plot, like just the main element that we were using there. So obviously it's I'm on board for that. But all a plot can do is either get me on board or kind of turn me off. It's not going to be the ultimate teller. It's just kind of it's like a trailer for a movie. So the plot had me, so I was just waiting to see how they executed it. So let's make our way once again to Whispering Woods and Fright Zone to see how well they did execute this time travel, or if they failed.
I'd say the writing's on the wall. The rest of the episode.
And then you ran into She-Ra.
Don't remind me of that. She was standing on top of that mountain, waiting. She even challenged me.
Come on, Hordak. Now try picking on somebody your own size.
I fired every bolt of lightning I had at She-Ra. I was sure we had enough electrical energy to beat her. But the Doom Balloon couldn't handle it. Our circuits were overloaded. The Doom Balloon was doomed. Turn it off! What's the point of all this, Professor Tempest? I don't need to be reminded about what She-Ra did.
Of course not, Master. But I told you I could change it.
But it's already happened.
Then we go back to a time before it happened. Watch. I'll rewind it. Now we stop it. Right here. And I'll give the Doom Balloon... another energy beam. Now, let us see how well She-Ra does against the Doom Balloon. Full energy power! Fire! We're beating her!
I can't hold off that energy.
Valley View Castle is now Horde territory.
Are you sure?
Without a doubt. They are on the castle walls at this very moment.
Oh, my goodness, look! Horde troopers!
We find ourselves briefly once again in Whispering Woods, because I'm sure Mike doesn't have too much good to say about this time transformer. Mike, true story. Were you just turned off to the fact that the episode had the word Transformer in it and it wasn't about Transformers?
No. Nothing to do with it.
Like I said, I love time travel stories, so that is my Whispering Woods moment. When it involves time travel, that's
awesome. I like when it involves time travel as well, except when time travel is done right, not going to a drawing board.
I don't think it was a drawing board.
Like, you take this episode and put it up against the one, what was it, the Time Corridor from He-Man? Mm-hmm. Time Corridor actually took them back in time.
Yeah.
This one, they just essentially morphed around the Back to the Future plots without actually having to go back in time. The dude sits there and draws another satellite on the fucking screen.
I mean,
are
clever.
You kidding me? Oh, God. At least everyone knows how to work a VCR now, right?
I thought it was
like,
clever.
Stop, rewind, pause.
Yeah, but this is a magic transformer, so that's why. It's like, it's a powerful object. So it's better, I think, than just doing the traditional, it's been done 1,000 times, let's go back in time. At least they're trying something different. Like, I'll give him that much. But anything for Whispering Woods for you?
That was the one. I have one other. Hey, kid, I already said it. Hey, kids, they know how to work a VCR.
Okay.
But I do love the music cue when they're hiding from the troopers as they first make their way to the throne room. Mm-hmm. There's a point where She-Ra and Bo are hiding, like, SWAT style around a corner, and you can hear more of the music. There's no dialogue. There's no sound effects, but you can hear more of the score from the series.
Right.
It just is really, really interesting to me. The rest is forgettable at best.
Well, let's make our way to the Fright Zone moment then. And I'll go first here because I want to kind of outline how this episode worked for me and didn't work. Okay, it had me at the beginning because it's about time travel. I like the fact that they're trying to use some unique or clever ways of going about the time travel without getting in a DeLorean and going back in time or this, that, and the other, as far as Professor Tempest goes. But a couple things bothered me a lot about this episode. Number one, they're obviously Professor Tempest has done something, and Hordak along with him has changed one event in their history, and now there are Horde troopers where they shouldn't be. I don't understand how Adora can observe that there's troopers where they shouldn't be and immediately come to the conclusion, and she even has this line, it's as if history has changed. What? There, you have no bearing to think that that's anything about history or time travel or changing events from the past. You'd be like, if you saw that in real life, if you're nearby a castle and all of a sudden your enemy is standing guard at the castle, your first thought wouldn't be it's as if something from the past or history has changed. Your first thought would be, what the hell happened? Did they just attack us? Did we miss something? What happened? You'd be worried about what happened in the present. You wouldn't immediately go to, it's as if history has changed. So it was too easy. It was that line was stupid. It was we're giving characters knowledge of what the plot is of this show that they should not have.
It's essentially they've broken Doc Brown's time travel rules.
Well, it's like somebody took Adora aside and said, hey, this... the Horde actually did go back in time and changed history, so go ahead and talk about it. So I had a big problem with that. My second humongous problem with this episode. We must travel back in time by circling the globe in high speeds.
It's a Superman 1 move, folks. You're reading my notes, dude. Are you fucking kidding me?
That is worth a whole Crystal Castle downgrade.
Yeah, it's a 1978 Superman the movie reference.
It was
right?
Fucking dumb in Superman, and it's fucking dumb in She-Ra.
And it's especially dumb here in She-Ra because she's riding Swiftwind and making him fly back in time, you know.
Because that's how time works, guys.
Yeah. And the other thing, since these kind of just... It's we didn't read off each other's papers, folks, but it's like we're in school all over again. So we had that. We had the Superman 1 Swiftwind thing. Before that, we had her actually flying through walls. And I'm like, wait, when the fuck did she become Wonder Woman? Where's her golden lasso? Like, she actually flies through the Fright Zone, through all those walls. And I'm like, She-Ra doesn't have the power to fly.
I missed that.
Yeah.
And then a minor nitpick here. Let me squeeze these in. A minor nitpick is the whole, once again, sword to not just a bat, not just a baseball bat, sword to like this inflated giant bat.
Yeah.
That looks so
loose. It's a giant wiffle ball bat. Yeah.
So that was just a minor nitpick. But my biggest problem is, number one, she shouldn't have known about the history. Number two, that's not how you go travel time, is by going around the globe high speeds, or reverse it, I guess, and go forwards. They don't explain how you get back, I don't think, in this one. But honestly, the entire episode is ruined by the final 2 to 3 minutes. The final 2 to 3 minutes of this episode might be the worst final 2 or 3 minutes of any episode of the entire series. It ruined any semblance of goodness or anything that this episode may have tried or been able to have, just destroyed by the final couple minutes. Mm-hmm. So anything that you didn't get to talk about Fright Zone wise?
No, go ahead.
PSA was about working hard and being honest and treating others kindly.
Which has nothing to do with the episode.
No. So, time travel gone wrong, I guess, is the gist of this. It had potential, and then it went a whole bunch of directions that didn't work for me. I don't know if I'd call it the worst episode that we've seen, because there are some redeeming factors, maybe, one or two. But we'll see just how bad it resonated with us totally, because obviously, Mike, you said you went downhill after the first episode. We'll have to see if you're talking about this episode or the one that's still to come. So we're going to take a quick break and see if we have any horde bats or protection swords to give out after the break.
This place is a maze.
I'm sure this is the way out.
Wrong, traitor. Take them to Master Hordak.
The time transformer is almost ready.
Master! Master! We've captured the traitor Adora.
This must be my lucky day.
Don't count on it, Hordak.
Oh, no? Watch! As my time machine gets rid of your wonderful bright moon, once and for all! Get to work, Professor! Watch closely, Adora, as I turn defeat into victory! I can hardly wait!
Yes, Master.
Alright, once again, we have a chance to hand out horde bats and protection swords. I did not hand out anything last episode, so I will go first, because I have two things to hand out. Number one, I will give Hordak a horde bat for shooting the time transformer. That was kind of an important object. And
well, it was Shira's fault. He, you know.
Yeah.
She distracted him.
He was an idiot. And yeah. My other horde bat goes to every writer who has ever done physical. I'm gonna coin this phrase, I guess, for the rest of the series. Every writer who has ever done stupid physical bullshit in an episode. Stupid physical bullshit. I don't know what other way to describe the nonsense like we saw here with the running around the globe.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Don Heckman, if I could hold 20 horde bats in my hand, I would smack you with all of them, because She-Ra does not fly. if you missed it earlier when she's flying through the walls in the Fright Zone, when she goes to pick up the time transformer, she doesn't jump. She leaps out of the roof and flies through the sky to get rid of the goddamn thing.
I guess I was too turned off by the final 3 minutes to pay attention to any of that.
Yeah.
Anything else, sir?
Nope.
All right, and Crystal Castles for this one?
Half.
A half. Not quite a zero. You went from one down to a half. I will go.
That's because the last episode is the worst. The last episode, if I could give it a negative rating, I would.
Wow. I'm interested to hear some more about that. I give this one a two. I'm being generous with that. It probably deserves a one. I gave it two because I did like Professor Tempest. I did like the idea of the time travel and what was going on there, but it was just executed so terribly that it goes down to a two. It's. The difference between this episode and last episode is this one had things that actively pissed me off, and last episode was just kind of a it just.
Well, the thing with this one, like I said earlier, when I compared this to Time Corridor, I know Hordak is all about the science of things, and he's not really into the whole mysticism unless he's, you know, trying to have Shadow Weaver do something, but they could have found some other way. They could have found, like I said before, an actual portal or something to where, instead of showing a fucking clip show of events we've already seen, how about having the, like, you know, pull a full-on Back to the Future. Instead of having to have Swiftwind fly around the planet like Superman, how about actually having a time portal where you can actually go back in time? You know,
not a big fan. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then after the break, we're going to see if episode 74 really is above it all.
It isn't. It's down there in hell.
That's pretty drastic.
It was one of those nights when there was no moon, no stars, just plain darkness. I couldn't see a thing. I've seen some dark nights in my time, but this was just about the darkest one. And then a Kaya wolf began howling.
Weren't you afraid?
No. Well, maybe a little at first. But I figure that being afraid of the dark only means that you have a good imagination. And if you have a good imagination, you can imagine good things.
Well, what did you think of?
Oh, things like riding a sled down a long, snowy hill. And lying on my back watching the birds make lazy circles. But then something terrible happened.
What?
My nose began to itch.
But you said it was something terrible.
It was. I told you it was dark. Well, it was so dark I couldn't find my nose to scratch it.
All right, up next is episode 74, Above It All. Friday, October 25th, 1986, or somewhere around there, written by Barbara Hambly. Shadow Weaver unleashes the power of the Cave of Winds on the rebel leaders. She-Ra is hindered in her aid by tree-like beings who reside on a floating skyland. We have Shadow Weaver, Hordak, Voltak, the return of Voltak, along with She-Ra, Swiftwind, Glimmer, Madam Raz, Bo, Cowl, and Broom. What did you think of this wind episode?
Yeah. Barbara, what's her name, the writer? She has a very limited writing for television and cartoons on IMDb. Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Mask, of all things. This episode of She-Ra. Traitors 3 from Centurions. And Starcom, the U.S. Space Force from 86. Yeah, those are the only... She only has 5 writer credits on IMDb, and wow, I can see why after watching this episode. Oh my god.
Not a big fan of the Return of Voltak, huh?
Return of Voltak, yeah, is fine, and he has a good... There are 2 good lines in this. One is from Voltak about where he's talking about how much of a devil woman She-Ra is, and then the other one is from another character, so... But, yeah, no, this episode can go to hell.
All right. Very strong feelings about this episode, I see. I don't know. This plot does nothing for me either way. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't piss me off. It's just kind of like, what? Okay, just random thing that Shadow Weaver's going to be doing that She-Ra has to figure out. I don't quite understand how anything is relevant or important in this episode. So just kind of, yeah, I don't know. This is one that's hard to get into. But we will try to get into it after the break.
Voltak! You have a look, Adora.
You were right, Glimmer. That's Voltak, all right.
But what's he doing so close to Whispering Woods?
I wish we knew.
Whatever he's doing here, he isn't doing it alone. Look! It's the tracks of Horde troopers. They must be in the area.
That's why we sent for you. We've been finding signs of the Horde for days.
That's strange.
Ah! Watch out! Look out, Bubba!
All right, last time today, we are in the Whispering Woods. So, Mr. TFG and Mike, what did you like about Above It All, if anything?
As I said before, I don't remember. I should remember the line, but I don't. But whatever Voltak said about She-Ra when they were doing their little dance in the sky, I thought that was funny. And the best line of it all, before Rat Trap, you know, we're all gonna die. We have Cowl. We're all doomed. It's really the only good thing I found about this episode.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's not a lot to write home about this episode. I will leave it at this. I liked Voltak showing up again. Yeah, I like that we got to see him again. He's not just a one-off character. He's worth seeing again, so I did appreciate that. But other than that, it's all Fright Zone. So yep. You talked about a good line. Let me bounce off that, because there's a terrible line that I don't understand and I've never heard before. Maybe it's a saying that I'm just not familiar with, but... By my grandfather's beard, I'll listen to you next time. What the fuck does that mean?
I've heard the line before in other things, but Yeah, Bo's had some pretty bad lines, and honestly, the first 3 minutes and I actually timed this out. The first 3 minutes and 17 seconds of this episode should have been cut out completely or should not exist. It's when Bo is sitting there telling stories about his nose itching. And I'm like, no, what does this have to do with female empowerment? What does this have to do with anything? Nothing at all. 3 minutes that you could have actually put in more to whatever the fuck the plot was going to be in this episode. But no, we have to have 3 minutes and 17 seconds of Bo setting up a joke for Arrow to basically tickle his nose with his ass.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I was confused as well. My only other one is, I don't know, I just felt like, I was watching two different episodes at the same time. Like, there's this whole side quest with her and, like, the tree people things. And then there's the other thing with Shadow Weaver. And maybe I just was not in the right state of mind, but I could not connect anything with anything in this episode to make it worth a damn. Like, it just...
Because it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it just feels like... It feels like the writer had, like, six different ideas and tried to do a little of all of it. And I just was confused. I was like, what am I... Maybe I'm not paying enough attention. Maybe I'm not giving my 100% attention to She-Ra at this moment because of the other two episodes, but I didn't follow this episode at all. I was just in and out. I was dazing in and out.
Makes absolutely no sense. And then the only other note I had for Fright Zone was the cave winds are now blown open by Shadow Weaver. And we've got these winds happening all over the, supposedly all over the planet, but specifically to the woods and where they are. And everyone is shown basically running and walking away or trying to escape it. But what the animation does not show, and I'm not sure if Filmation could have done this. I think they could have, because they show He-Man struggling all the time. The first time the winds start blowing, they do not show anybody struggling against this. If this is supposed to be this all-powerful wind, She-Ra and Swiftwind should not be able to fly easily through it as an animation model at all. They should be struggling like they are later in the episode. So that was stupid. And really, like you said, it's essentially two different episodes. It's two different plots meshed into the same episode. It's, you know, kind of like throwing Sandman and Venom and...
Well, it's just hard in a 22-minute cartoon to have a side plot, a side story. Yeah. Like a side quest, I guess you could say. But but Mike, beauty is on the inside.
No.
That's what... No, it really isn't. That's what Lucky told us.
Well, that makes absolutely no... Like, that makes absolutely no sense to this episode because... She didn't call the tree people ugly.
She could have.
Like, I could see if she insulted the tree people or something like that, but she didn't. I mean,
she could have. All right, let's take a break, see how well we line up with our Crystal Castle ratings on this one and if it truly is the worst episode of the day.
I'm afraid I have to conclude that we are doomed.
All right, last chance. Horde bats and protection swords. Get them here, Mike. What do you got?
Horde bats for everybody.
Horde bats for everybody. The all-encompassing horde bat. I got nothing because this episode was nothing for me.
Yeah, this episode... You ever see the Looney Tunes short Baseball Bugs?
Yeah.
Okay, so at a point in this short, the Gas House Gorillas are just... creaming the teetotalers. This is right before Bugs comes in and takes over, and they basically do a conga line around the bases from home plate to third base and back again. Basically everybody just hitting and circling the base. That's essentially what my horde bats for everybody should be, is just basically me or 10,000 versions of myself just coming up and just hitting every character in the head.
Nice.
All
right, so not a big fan of this episode. What does that translate to when you come to Crystal Castle? Is it zero, sir?
Zero.
All right, I will be slightly above that.
I don't know how you can not give this a zero. The plot had not. It's, you said it yourself. The plot is two different things
that
don't mesh together whatsoever. There's not even a thread to put the two stories together. I don't even know how you. I don't know how you can not give this a zero.
Well, see, here's the thing. It didn't actively piss me off, though. That's the difference for me.
It's not even the fact that it actively pisses me off. It's the fact that it's so horrible that the story... you said it. The story doesn't connect with you.
If the story
doesn't connect with you, then that's a bad episode.
Yeah, but the difference for me between like a 1 and 2 and like a 0 or a half or something like that is it's not just bad. There's moments that you can pinpoint to. It's not just like a bad plot, bad story, convoluted or whatever. It's like, this pisses me off, that pisses me off, and this pisses me off. And I wasn't pissed off in this episode. I was just in a daze. I was in a funk because I didn't get anything. I wasn't following it. So maybe I'm blaming it on maybe I didn't understand it. Maybe I missed something. I don't know. I'll give it a 1. 1 out of 5. That's pretty bad. That's a bad rating. 1? A 0? It's not going to be one of the most highly rated episodes when we do our recap, that's for sure.
Yeah,
so, no. All right, we'll take a last break, and when we come back, Mike's going to tell you what to look out for next on Mists of Etheria.
Your secret is safe with me.
But not with me! Robots, prepare my submarine! I'm going to do a little pearl diving!
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes planes can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
All right, folks, we are back here on Mists of Etheria. And this, I don't know which is which, but I feel like we are both Clark Griswold and Cousin Eddie, except this time Cousin Eddie decided to hop on the super sled of doom, because She-Ra is becoming a very, very steep downhill slalom to hell.
Yeah. I think it's just a minor speed bump. That's what I'm going to say.
Minor speed bump.
I'm looking to see that it's going to get better. I'm sure of it.
Thank you for listening to Mists of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback on iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. @GeekCastRadio is the network Twitter. You can follow @PowerOfGrayskull for the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter is @OptimusSolo, so tweet at me, fools.
Wow, that was a Starscream moment for you. Pathetic fools. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. We hope you enjoyed the miss today. Don't forget to join us in our next adventure, when we'll take a look at the next three episodes of season two, those being Day of the Flowers, Bridges, whatever the hell, and The Care Bear Giver. I'm sorry, The Caregiver. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
It's got to get better, folks. Tell me it's going to get better. Optimus Solo.
The power, and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power. Please share it with us, because holy fuck, these shows are sucking. Find out.